Well, it looks like your prayers are being heard by the Lord, and we continue to repel Dorian and hope that South Carolina is as much prayer warriors as we are. It's times like this where it is like battle of the churches. We prayed it off us. Send it all along. Hopefully it gets to Washington, D.C. and some changes are made. Yeah, you got to think about things differently, people. We have the power. Anyway, that's fun to think about. Glad you're here. I want to start off as we engage. Well, I have to immediately say, Lord, forgive me for that joke. We don't control those things. It's out of our control. But we know the Lord who controls all things, and we don't know why, but we know he's good. And so we continue to pray and ask for his protection and blessing. But as we begin, I like the idea of daily repentance. Repentance as a way of life. And here's what I mean by that. It's almost like I woke up with a knot in my back this week, and you try to figure out why, but it doesn't really matter why. I think I slept wrong or I did something wrong, and all that matters is trying to get the pressure on it so I have like a ball that I'm leaning against and it's hurting, giving me a headache and releasing toxins but not quite going, and it hurts. I just need the knot gone so I can go like this and not think about it. And repentance is what that does. Repentance is, in our minds, we're like, oh, I have to ask God to forgive me for some big thing I did. It's not just that. You just have knots in you. Knots, and you don't even know where they came from. But repentance is saying, God, I don't know why I feel this way. I feel off. It hurts. I can't turn my neck. I need something to push on it. I need something. And repentance is what will break it up. It'll break up that little monkey fist of anxiety. And you go, God, forgive me for what I've done, what I've left undone. And he says, and the key is to then receive and say, he says, hey, I forgive you for what you've done and what you've left undone, because there's always more you can do. And the more you think about the more you could do, the stiffer your neck gets and the harder it gets. So repentance, what I mean is daily going, Lord, I haven't done enough, and I'm not going to do enough to deserve love, to deserve good things in my life. So I'm starting off by just saying, Lord, I don't deserve anything good, but will you give it to me? Will you give me good? And he says, yes, I've given you my son to die for you, and it's for his sake you're forgiven. So turn your head, take a deep breath, and confidently stumble and bumble into some new mistakes. And you'll find there'll be something you really need to repent of later, because now you're living, and that's how we live. So quietly right now, let me just bow your head. We're not going to read the confession. We're just going to do it this way. I've already been leading you through it. So bow your head, and just in deference to our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, Lord, we admit to you we haven't done everything we could have done. In fact, we haven't done some of the stuff we should have done. We've prepared for storms, but we're not totally prepared. Will you forgive us? Receive the word of God to you, where God says, I have given you my son. It's for his sake your sins are forgiven. Thank you, Lord. We receive this, and we align with the psalmist today, Psalm 131. It says, oh, Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Father, we just are like a weaned child, thankful for everything we have. And at this moment, gathered around your altar, the place where you promised to be with us, we're just going to rest. Rest in your word, in your love, in your son. So hear our worship now and be pleased. Be pleased in everything we're doing here as we grow in appreciation for everything you've done and continue to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. we abide in you. We ask for you to give us the nutrients and the watering that our souls and our bodies need. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we have two readings today. One will be from Joshua. The first one will be Joshua chapter 1. It's kind of a famous passage. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 9. It's found on page 102 if you want to follow along. The next reading will be a continuation of what we're talking about in Hebrews. But the Old Testament reading from Joshua starts with kind of a crisis. Moses has died. So what are we going to do? After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Reading of God's word. Praise be to God. It's a wonderful passage. Then in the book of Hebrews, and we'll refer to this passage as we talk about today's idea, what God has for us from the scriptures. But turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 through 17. The author or the preacher, this is a sermon spoken to people. He's already broken down what it means to be saved, what the gospel, law and gospel, and now we're at a very practical section. So here we go. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then let us continually offer up sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them. It's my favorite verse. I have this tattooed on my neck. Obey your leaders. Submit to them. Why? For they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the reading of God's word. Praise be to God. This passage is very practical, but the way we're going to approach it is through one word today. I'm going to give you exactly what's on my heart and what God wants us to hear today, and then we'll work through it. And here's what he wants us to hear today. Faith will produce courage. Courage is the ability to stand or move forward in the face of fear. So when you are scared to do something, courage is, I'm going to do something that scares me. That's courage. And here's what we all have to know. Courage isn't something that you have to muster on your own first. I have courage. Now I'm going to act courageously. No, courage is something that happens because there's a faith. Faith produces works. Faith and works are one coin. It's like heads or tails on a coin. It's faith and works. If you have faith in something, that produces an action to do something. We all had faith in the weatherman. So we all worked out of that faith by destroying the water section at Publix. See, it's very simple. We operate by faith every day. We go to work, we get the paycheck later. You're operating out of faith. They pay me. They're going to pay me on Friday, but I'm going to work Monday through Friday out of faith, because that faith motivates action. So don't believe the hype of faithless, godless people who say, faith is stupid, do something. You say back to them with all grace and love, God have mercy on you. Because your faith is in something weird, unknowable. You are a person of faith. You just don't know what you're putting your faith in. That's the end of negativity. I don't want to be negative to all the people, I want you to be courageous in your faith. Don't back down because people are challenging and act like you have to have all the answers, and then your life goes wrong. Oh, where's your God now? I'll tell you where your God is. He's with you. And I'll tell you how we get courage to face disappointment, to face debilitating anxiety, to face poverty, to face death. How do we become the people of courage? Not because we already are, because we're the people of faith. And here's the question. Whenever you are in crisis and you need courage, the question is no longer, am I good? Am I going to do good? How do I do good things? That's not your question anymore. We're going to explain this. But your new question, when you need courage, is, dear God, are you going to be with me in this? Are you going to be with me? See, we want to know, God, should I take the job there? Should I marry this person? Should I do this? Should I leave? Should I stay? Tell me what to do. And God's like, I'm not an oracle. I don't give you the future. We don't play that game where I give you the future and now you're safe. That's not the game of God. God says, no, I don't make those promises to you. I'm God. Let me be God. I'm in control of the future, but I give you something great that will produce more courage than you'll ever, more courage than anybody else on the face of the earth. And that is, you say, God, will you be with me in this? And he says, yes, yes, yes. That's the one thing over and over and over. God says, I will be with you. Be strong and courageous. Well, how? Because I'm with you. Jesus in the resurrected body says, I have all power and authority, and I'm with you forever and ever. Jesus says that. God's saying, go across the river and take a land full of giants. We just lost our leader. Yeah, go ahead, Joshua. You're number two. Everybody went to the church of Moses for Moses, not for Joshua. And now Joshua's preaching? Oh, geez. We're doomed. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because the Lord is with you. And this is what produces the kind of courage that has you stand up in the face of fear, has you be more brave than you could ever have been,
Not because you are brave, you're scared. But because you got your big brother behind you. You're surrounded by God. God's with you. The creator of the universe is with you. So be strong and courageous. You guys have him. He has you. So now we have to go into this passage. This is what the preacher in Hebrews is saying. How do you draw courage? I want you first and foremost to know, when you say, God, are you with me? He says, yes, I'm with you. We have to understand these two words, and maybe you've heard them before. Let's re-break them down. Justification and sanctification. If you mess up justification and sanctification, if you put them out of order, you're doomed. You're doomed to a life of crushing failure and hardship. And your faith, your best opportunity is, if you mess these up, at best, you'll be a really loving Pharisee, which happens to us. It happens to us in like a microcosm. We mess these up. So just to be clear, justification is where God does all the work and gives it to you. Justification is what happens on the cross when Jesus Christ does everything. He gives it to you. He offers it to you, and you don't reject it. You say, oh, thanks. You receive it. It's all his work, and you are saved by faith in Christ. That's justification. That means you're in the family. You're like one of our children in the household. Done. So the question of, am I good? Am I doing good? Those were good questions before you were brought into the family. Now it's like, yeah, am I good enough to still live here, Mommy? How crushing would that be for our kids, Zenon, to go, can I still live here tonight? I made some poor decisions earlier today. You would probably cry and say, you did make some poor decisions, but you're my son. Like, that conversation's over. You're in the house. You're with us forever. The next conversation, so that conversation has to happen first. Justification. You are in the family of God. You don't need to worry about that. And when you do, you remember your baptism. You remember what God did for you. Done. But there is another level. Not level, but there's something more, because God created us to interact with us. He actually has relationship with us. And we don't just have babies and then let them go. We want to interact and raise them and see them grow into maturity. This is sanctification. And so there is a point for you to cooperate with God in sanctification. This is where you start to engage doing good things. Again, we don't do good things to be saved. We don't do good things to become good. Jesus already did that. We do good things because our Heavenly Father is like, I want you to grow up and enjoy life. I want you to be a true human. And a true human loves God and loves others and doesn't use others to prove how good they are or use God to prove how good they are. That's insecurity, orphan living. And we have done that too often in our lives. We do something good and we're like, hey, I'm good. Wrong. No, you're good because Jesus died for you. Now you're just actually being a human. You're actually in the will of God, which is heaven and earth are meeting in you because Jesus has heaven and earth in him, and it's in you. And now you're able to love people in a moment. You give it to them. Here's another way to describe what I'm saying. Justification, we got that. Sanctification, though. On Tuesday, I guarantee you there'll be kids because there's no school. No school. I have so much to say about the hurricane, but praise God, we're protected. And praise God, we don't have to be driven by fear. Just once, I'd like someone on the news to go, hey, maybe we should pray to this ancient God who claims to be the creator of the universe. Just to try it. I don't know. Never mind. Sorry. No, everyone freak out. No one ever even thinks, like, no one even says that. Like, hey, maybe you should pray. Anyway, that's a sign. But on Tuesday, because there's no school, our beloved children will say to us, I don't know what to do. Nothing to do. And you know what? A good parent will say, just like the stuff that the preacher says here, oh, you need something to do? You could clean your room. You could get ahead on homework. You could do some yard work since it's not, we got yard work stuff. Oh, you know what? I just realized There's a lot of, you could play with your sister. Show her how to do that thing. And what does the child say? Nah, I'm all right. Or better yet, same example, different words. Can I have some chips?
I'm hungry.
Sorry. I'm hungry. Oh, yeah. Can I have some chips? Well, no, you can have, we have an apple. We have some fruit. No, I'm not hungry anymore. This is a sanctification issue. You're in the family, but what's happening in that moment? What's the real parent say back? Then you're not, if you don't want an apple, then you're not hungry. Oh, if you're bored, then you're choosing to be bored. Or what I heard growing up, it was so mean. There's no such thing as being bored, just boring people. And I was like, okay, I'm boring, I'm sorry. So harsh in the 80s. Just went right from the core. I proved them wrong. I'm not boring now. But here's where we get to the sanctification question. Because here's what you need to know with courage. Okay, I am safe in my justification, but you do have to engage God and cooperate with him. But this is not intended to crush you and make you feel bad, like you're a bad person. This is intended, like the child, to teach you to grow into maturity and to become a full human who loves God and loves one another. So the question, though, is for all of us, okay, what do I do? What do I do to become a mature Christian? Here's what the preacher says. Cool. Let brotherly love continue. That as the church, we're brothers and sisters. And one of the hallmarks of Christianity is that we love each other. Break it down this way. If I want to help you, but my own personal family is starving and I'm not taking care of my kids or my wife, do you really want my help? I hope Joe would say to me, maybe you should feed your family first before you help mine. And the hallmark of Christianity is we're not called to save the world. We have Jesus to do that. I'm not called to love everybody out there and save them. No. Come on. We got to grow up in loving each other first. Now, when you become a full human, you'll be able to go out there and just like my children, go out there and get a job and love the world. That's coming. But let's start in the family first. Let's grow up, okay? Before you get the big boy career you're not ready for. No, that wasn't for you. That's just a throwaway statement. If it hits you, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not. Grow up. It says brotherly love, how we love each other matters. Continue in that. You want something to do? You don't know what to do? Love one another. Or how about this one? Do not neglect to show hospitality. Open up your home. Throw a meal. Some people entertain angels. I do want to say, we have biblical reference to angels being entertained, and they were unaware of it at first, Abraham and Lot. And there are angels. We've talked about angels on Tuesday night especially. But here it could be anybody who's bringing the word of God. An angel just means messenger of the word of the Lord. So entertain people who are about the faith, carrying the word of God. Open up your home. Take care of them. We're on the verge of doing that during a hurricane, you know. If any one of you, your house, something happened, you have this group of people to say, come stay with us. We'll take care of you, at least for a couple days. And then when you wear your welcome out, we'll pass you on to one of our other brothers and sisters. That's very brother and sister. Okay, you're annoying me now. Go to Joe's house. Okay. We can do that. We're brothers and sisters. Then there's the prison. Go visit those in prison. Here's what this means. Early, first 200 years of Christianity, Christians are being, at some points, hunted for sport. In fact, one of the emperors has to write an edict that says, please don't hunt Christians for sport. Just if you find them worshiping, then kill them. This is in Eusebius, a church historian. I'm reading it to get perspective. I'm like, wow. So visit the people who have been in prison because of their faith. We know Paul was in that situation. That's just love. Oh, you want more to do? Okay, let's even make it simpler. Love your wife. Love your husband. Be faithful. Okay. Let's get a little bit more. Don't love money. Work on not loving money. I'm so bored. What do I do in my Christian life? Work on not loving money. I'm not hungry. I'm okay. Ugh. So here's the thing. It takes courage. The pastor is just like our dad at this point in time. These are the things that you could do on a day home with nothing to do in your Christian life. There's stuff to do. There's ways to grow. But you know why this stuff's scary? I don't know if you've ever tried to love somebody. It's scary. It takes courage to show brotherly love because you've been rejected. And that hurts. It takes courage to show hospitality because people might ruin your house or not repay you or take things that you needed for yourself. It takes courage to visit somebody in prison because now I'm going to be aligned with them. Like, I'd love to visit you, Kevin, but if I go, they'll know that I'm with you and then maybe I go to prison. Sorry, buddy. It takes courage. It takes courage to stay in a marriage when the thought, maybe I'd be happier over here. It takes courage to say, no, I'm not going to be happier over there. I'm going to trust the Lord and be engaged with my wife before God, whether it's hard or happy or not. It's hard and takes courage to not trust money. And if you, I want you to look at this verse again. It's so good. Verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money. You're allowed to have money, but don't love it. And then he gives more. He says, content with what you have, for he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God, will you be with me in trying to love other people? Yes. Will you be with me in trying not to love and serve money and forgive me? Yes, I'll be with you. And in fact, he says, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Will you be with me in trying to figure out my job, which is so stressful and difficult? Yes. Will you be with me in a hard decision to leave something that might be good or I don't know what to do? Will you be with me? Yes, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Even if you mess up in these things. See, you're free to mess up. You're free to love, but not perfectly. Oh, I should have played that differently. I really was mean. It's not now, oh, you didn't do good. You're bad. I'm a child learning how to do chores, learning how to grow in maturity. This is sanctification. So where you mess it up, you're forgiven. But at least you're moving. There's things to be doing and growing. So be strong and courageous in that. You aren't the orphans. God is your helper. But here's where we draw our strength and our courage from, is that Christ did this perfectly. He went before us, right? The author goes on to say, remember the leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Remember those guys who are trying to protect the true gospel. At this point in time in history, there's better stories. So the Jews are rising up nationally and they're saying, hey, we're being persecuted. We aren't the Christians. But then the Christian Jews are saying, hey, you should go back to doing Jewish things, temple worship. And that's why the author gets kind of into about sacrificing food, about what altar you go to. And it took courage, just like it takes courage today, to go to the altar that God has given us, his son, Jesus Christ. So don't be swayed by new ideas like, oh, you want to be a better Christian and you want to do these things? And if it changes from the story of Christ, let it be anathema. That's what Paul says in Galatians. He says, if even an angel shows up and gives a different message than Jesus Christ crucified, throw it out. Why? Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The story doesn't change. It's never going to change. And so take your courage in that. It's not going to change. So don't get wrapped up in that. Remember the guys who preach the true word of God and hold on to that. But there's something more. You have to think about the question is, God, where are you now in this hard time? He says, I'm where I've always been. I'm at the altar. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Be strong and courageous. Take your courage from the altar, the death and resurrection of Christ. I've been reading these biographies. I read a new biography on Luther and one on Bonhoeffer. If you've ever read Bonhoeffer, like the story of his life, pretty amazing. I was looking for the next one. And a lot of these biographies are about powerful people, right? So there's one on Rockefeller, and Einstein, Steve Jobs. Like these are the top 10. And everybody who writes a review is like, oh, I learned a lot of things for business and for success. And it's funny, I didn't see a biography on Jesus Christ. You know why? Because the guy worked for 3 years, and at the end of it, he was crucified by his peers. Can't wait to get my hands on that biography. What is the secret? That's why we have to be strong and courageous, because our leader lived in poverty, was rejected, died, yet had the peace of God, had the healing words of God, and healed people. And for the joy set before him, endured the cross. This is our leader. So it takes courage and faith to trust him. But he gives you that. When he gives you your faith, he gives you new sight. So when you can see what's ahead, gives you some courage. When you know you're not alone, that someone's fighting beside you, gives you courage. When you can see what Christ has done, it gives you courage. When you can know the word of God, the promise of God is, I am with you. This is all building courage. And again, courage is just being really scared going forward. That's all it is. I'm not saying you're going to feel courageous. When I look back at the biggest courageous moments of my life, I've left jobs several times for nothing. Wow, how courageous and bold are you, Adam? No, at the time I was completely devastated and scared and hurt and confused and I didn't know what to do. But all I knew was, I'm not happy here, Lord, and will you be with me in the next place? He says, yeah. And that's all I knew. Now I'm thankful. But now there's more places to go because we keep growing and learning. It's like, what's going on now? Will you be with me in the future? Yes. Will you be with me in the dreams that I have that feel so far away? Yeah, I'll be with you in those dreams. I'll be with you, but I've wasted opportunities. I'll be with you. I've ruined relationships. I'll be with you. If you want to repair those, that takes courage. I'll be with you. Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you. He's gone ahead of you. He's beside you. He's with you. And he will be always. So, what are you going through? Check into your own heart. We all have things that we're trying to make big decisions on. And fear is always opposing faith. Just know those are the two that work in you. Faith, or let's go, fear is protecting what you have. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. Faith is hope for something good is coming. Faith and fear. So what right now is testing those? Whatever it is, whatever the fear of the future, fear of the past, fear of right now, whatever it is, go to the Lord. You have faith, and that faith will produce courage. You go to him and say, Lord, will you be with me if this happens? And hear him say, he says it over and over in Scripture, so I know the Holy Spirit will say this to you. It's no mystery. The Holy Spirit will speak to you because he has through his word. He has through his altar. And he will say to you, yes, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you through whatever you go into. And you'll have enough to give away and share. And you'll have enough energy to love people while you're there, to show hospitality, to visit those who are being persecuted. You are the person who carries that. Be strong and courageous. All your courage comes from the altar of Jesus Christ, who went before you and goes with you now. So can you get a little worked up for that? At least for right now, and then as soon as you leave and you're debilitated by the stress and the freaked outness of what you can't control, promise me you'll remember this. God, are you going to be with me? What does he say? Yeah, okay. You guys are going to struggle this week if that's how you answer the question. God, are you going to be with me? Yeah, okay, maybe I'll be with you. Is God going to be with you?
Yes.
Is God going to be with you?
Yes.
Is God going to be with you through that?
Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. In Christ, it is yes. And that's all you need to know to be strong and courageous. That's all you need to know to be scared and go, okay. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. Give us the strength and the courage of Jesus Christ. Minister to our hearts and our minds right now, Lord. I just want to take a second, a couple seconds. We don't need you to bring to our mind the fear. We already have that pretty close to the surface. So we ask, Holy Spirit, would you speak that yes to us personally right now? Will you be with me if everything bad happens? Will you be with me in this decision that needs to be made? Will you be with me in the unknown? Will you be with me in the rejection, trying to love people? Will you be with me in being foolishly generous? Thank you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. And we ask that you'd continue to make us grow the faith you've started in us that might produce courage. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a special Sunday when I get participation, having you guys chant, yes, yes, yes. Want to take a time of, we don't always do this either, but just corporate prayer. It's where I pray for things. And when I say, Lord, in your mercy, so I'll pray for something, you respond with, hear our prayer. This is something the church has done for hundreds of years, and it's a way to for us to be on the same page praying. So there's just certain Sundays where we pray together. And so when I say, Lord, in your mercy, you say, hear our prayer. It's also on one of the beautiful pictures that Troy made for us back there. Let me pray. Then after that, we'll take offering. We'll respond by giving to the work of God's word on earth as it is in heaven. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn us from all false doctrine and evil living whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand, bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands, we commend New City Church and all who are in need, praying for them at all times, that thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy, grant us daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all of our needs. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So a chance to respond. I do enjoy praying for the prayer requests that are put up on the board. We give to God because we don't worship and love money, and the opportunity to give to the Word of God and its growth, His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, is an act of worship and courage. Of course, we have giving online, but this is still something, a practice that we get into of being confronted with how much do I love money and how much do I love the Lord. That's what it is. It's like, okay, I'll give. It takes courage and faith, but we appreciate it, and the Lord always provides. That's what we've learned. And if you do have a prayer request, fill one out or let us know. God hears our prayers. We were talking to the youth on Wednesday night. We've been going through the Lord's Prayer and the assurance that God has his eyes and his ears on you is given to us by Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus tells us, we pray this prayer because it anchors us in the reality that God hears you, he sees you, and he cares for you. And that's source for great strength and courage. So as we move into the Lord's Supper, we'll pray for it like, let's pray for it as we would pray for before a meal. Let's pray the prayer the Lord taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, Matt will have to be, I think Val already went to summons Matt. The night that Jesus was betrayed, he says, I want to set up the reality of my presence with you. I want to set up the altar from which you find all courage to not just hang on, but to move into, take over the earth, to be a full human. And so he said, this is my body. The Passover lamb is broken. And he says, now I'm the Passover lamb. I've always been the lamb. Praise the God on the throne and the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He says, my body is broken. And this is key. Not for us, not for those people, but my body is broken for you. I love that Jesus is first person. It's for you. It's not for an opportunity, it's for you. It's not for, hopefully this works, it's for you. And as often as you get together, do this. Why? Because your courage and your strength will be built and nourished. You eat every day, you brush your teeth every day. So as often as you get together, remember that Jesus Christ is present. Discern his body and his blood here for you. So if you ever get tired of it, ask the Lord to forgive you. He will. He says, I die for you. And you need to know that. And he takes the cup and he says, this blood is a new covenant for the forgiveness of sins. Take and eat of it. Let Christ become part of you. That's how much he's a part of you. And if you become one with one another, we have unity here. We're about the same things. We're family. Held together by Christ and his altar. And from this, we move forward because Dad is behind us, brothers beside us, Holy Spirit's in front of us, and we get to live. Father, we thank you for these elements, this bread and this wine. We thank you that you keep it, bread and wine, yet by your word, it becomes something better. Just like you keep us with our own DNA, you keep us in our own personalities, but you remake us something better. You fill us with your word, and now there's life by faith in Christ. And so we approach these grape juice in the middle, wine on the outside, knowing that it's by faith and by your word over it that it becomes the body and blood of Christ for us, with us, to us. We thank you for it. We set it apart in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Oops. Let's come forward when you're ready. By coming forward, you're also making a confession of faith. I don't know if you ever thought about that. You're saying, this is what I'm a part of and what I want to be a part of. So come forward. And take note who comes. And say, thank God for the Wimberleys. I'm glad they believe and they're doing this. Use this time for that, you know. We're testifying to each other. Sorry I'm using you guys as the example, but they don't mind. All right. This is the body of Christ broken for you, Matt and Kaylee. Take and eat of it. This is the true blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Take and drink of it. In the name of
as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death and his coming again. And this is what gives us courage, strength, and energy. Lord, thank you for ministering to us. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you that you find our praise pleasing. You're pleased by the praise we offer, and we share our praises with one another. That takes courage to sing and to worship in front of one another. It's our reasonable sacrifice to you, and we thank you that you're pleased with us. We're super pleased with you right now. Thanks for loving us and forgiving us. And so we sing to you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, that felt good. I'm encouraged. I like Sundays where I'm encouraged. Thanks for being here. And, you know, there's a line there about you can make this job hard for your leaders, or but that's not much advantage to you. I don't know if you reread that. It's pretty funny. It's true, you know. And Matt and I have shed tears over a lot of people over the last 8 years or so, but we've probably laughed and rejoiced with more than we've shed tears. So you're here today, so you're the ones that we're thankful for and happy. Like, so be encouraged. You've been a great joy to us. And so, I don't know, just felt like saying that. All right, so I'm going to pray for Joe, and you all pray along. Lord, we thank you for this young man's courage and his strength and his ability to go somewhere new and complete coursework and all that it's taken, all the energy. We thank you for his hard work and for your safety and provision over him. And Lord, we thank you for the call that you've put on his life to serve our country, to protect people. We put your blessing on in the name of Jesus Christ that you would protect him as he serves our country, that you'd bless our military, you'd bless Joe. Give him your faith, your strength as he goes back home and bless his family and his all generations of his family. We pray for your blessing to be upon them. We're thankful for getting the chance to know him. And Lord, we don't know the future. Maybe we'll see him again one day, but we want to be the people who bless your people. And we trust you, Lord, that great things are going to happen through and because of Joe's faithfulness to you. So protect his faithful heart and bless him. We ask in Jesus' name. And the whole church said, amen. All right, brother. Yeah, man. Now receive God's blessing. Rebecca wants to sing some more. Maybe we'll do a little sing song after, but other people will have to go get ready for the half hurricane. Receive God's blessing. I want to read you this blessing. This is from Hebrews. Receive God's blessing. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, may he equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.